you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father am one. And I'm turning over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And those of you that were tuned in yesterday, yes, I'm re-reciting John 10 again because our special guest is Huey Freeman, our board chair. But Huey also shared with me moments ago, Matthew 4, 4 is also a special life verse for him. And we'll continue with our Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday today. And so Matthew 4, 4 shares, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. And I'm throttling way back, everyone. If you listened to the first 6 minutes or so yesterday, I just was on a roll. I was so excited, encouraged by having Huey Freeman, our new board chair, in the studio with me. And so bear with me again today. I'll try to slow down a little, but it's exciting when two brothers who love the Lord get together and we've prayed up the program. We prayed up yesterday's program. We've testified to each other how good God is and the provisions he's made in our lives and how he works behind the scenes in so many different ways. And we're both very grateful for our salvation, that he introduced us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we recognize we're sinful, we're in need, and we received and embraced the salvation offered as that free gift. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't be good enough to deserve it. And so if you weren't tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, I won't rehash all the different introductions and the glowing things I said about my good friend Huey Freeman, but he is a faithful follower of Jesus, grew up in a Jewish home, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also wluj.org. WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab so you can listen to it in its entirety. But I asked Huey to join us again for today's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition, where oftentimes Marianne is in the studio with me and we cover a story or an article or portions from our beloved Prime Life Times publication. And then we usually read listener letters, but I think I'll wait till next week when Marianne can join us again and focus on some more of Huey's testimony, because I think so much of his testimony is appropriate for all of us, just searching for God or maybe not believing God exists or dabbling in sin and not wanting to give it up because if I have to become a Christian, then I can't maybe enjoy these things. And yet some of the very unique ways God revealed himself to Huey, and I believe he wants to reveal himself to you today, whether you're taking baby steps in your faith journey and don't know much about Jesus yet, to the senior saint that's finishing well and just needs to be encouraged by a testimony and God's word, to maybe some of you that are kind of hostile to the concept that there's a God who loves you because you don't see evidence of it in your life, or you've been abused or violated, or you're grieving over different things and you said, there can't be a God. He wouldn't allow this to happen to my mother, to my child, to my family. And so I hope through hearing some of Huey's testimony and some of his faith journey, you also may entertain that idea that there could be a God. And then I just trust that God will reveal himself to you. And so, Huey, I was so encouraged by your sharing yesterday, and I kind of cut you off at the very end with 3 points. So I don't know if you want to maybe make those 3 points or backstep a little to set some context to your faith journey.
Okay, for anyone who's just listening today who didn't hear yesterday's story, that I was born and raised in a Jewish family, in a Jewish community. Most of my friends were Jewish. I had, you know, some non-Jewish friends. I didn't know any Christian people as I was growing up. And then through a sense of definite miracles, God made it clear to me that he cares about me, he loves me, he saved my life when I was falling off a mountain. When I started hearing the voice of God, as I spent a lot of time alone hiking in the Cascade Mountains in Oregon and Washington, and then one day God said to me, my way is through my son, and that was not good news for me.
Being Jewish.
It was not good news, because this was the same God who was showing me where to get food when I ran out of food. He showed me what direction to go when I would lose the trail as I was hiking for hundreds of miles with a backpack, enjoying it very much. And yeah, being Jewish and being, I say, a pretty good sinner, not like John Newton said he was a great sinner because he was a slaver and all this stuff, I was just pretty good at it. I wasn't like brag, you know, I was doing positive things, but like many young people in this, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture, we just routinely was do what God calls sin. We would laugh about it because sin didn't mean a thing to any of us. We're just doing what felt good. We're not hurting anybody, you know. Yeah, we were doing things that were so wrong. Some of them were illegal when it came to drug use, stuff like that. But honestly, by the time I was coming to faith, I was through with drug use. I was trying to have a positive life. But like in many cases, what happened with me was suddenly after I heard that Jesus is the way, and I actually believed that God was saying Jesus is the only way to the Father, to the Almighty God of the Jews, I rejected that. And then after rejecting that, many things happened to me where my life started to unravel. I felt like I should move back to Oregon, where my Jesus freak friends were, and I became a believer. And after being a believer, I really caught fire that I wanted to tell everyone about being a believer. And I was at an evangelistic meeting in Oregon. It was slightly away from where I was living. And the evangelist said, there's three important things to consider in your life. Number one, whether or not you're going to believe in Jesus. Number two, who you're going to marry if you're going to get married. And number three, what your career is going to be. So God spoke to me in that meeting and said, you've already decided to follow me. Allow me to make those other decisions, which was already something I was starting to see, that trusting in God, trusting in his wisdom is important. That I was realizing as a new Christian, if I did things that I felt were not exactly what God wanted me to do, things would go wrong. So if I tried to seek God's wisdom, things would go right. So in that meeting, God said to me, I want you to be a writer. Well, my chosen career path was to be a filmmaker because I had gone to film school and I really wanted to just be involved with filmmaking, film directing. And I had written a script that was considered a professional film script. So I realized I had some writing talent, but I didn't really see a path to being a professional writer. I wanted to work in the film business. So when God said to be a writer, I accepted that my life would change. I would not no longer go to any film school. I would, you know, work on my writing. And then God said, also, trust me for who your spouse will be. Well, at that moment, I didn't know who my spouse would be, but I did put in my heart, yes, I trust you, God. And Kate, her name was Catherine Denning. Kate Denning was a girl I had very briefly kind of dated. She was a Christian girl. And it wasn't long after that we started really dating seriously. And we got married. And Kate will tell you, too, and she is the director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, so she's involved in this ministry also. But more importantly, she would tell you also that God brought us together. And now through 43 years of marriage, she will say, just like me, we always, always, always know God brought us together. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that is a real rock for a marriage is knowing that. Because just like every marriage, it hasn't been all sunshine and light. So it's like, okay, but God brought us together. Yeah, yeah. We're going to stay together. We're not going to, you know, do anything crazy. You know, we're going to stay together. And we have four wonderful adult kids. And we've had a wonderful life together. And could tell the story of how I met Kate. Because this, in retrospect, is one miracle that I still don't have a real explanation of how I met her. So, okay, in my days, right before I really committed to Christ, like I said in the earlier episode of this story, I had this really good friend, Shelley Fox, who had become a Jesus freak. She was my age. I knew her since seventh grade. And here we're young adults at the time, and we're both single. And she was living at this time in an apartment in Eugene, Oregon. And I had just moved to the area. And she had a roommate named Debbie. And Debbie's brother lived in Massachusetts, but he was visiting. And he wasn't a believer in Christ. He's a Jewish guy like myself. So Alan said on a Friday night, "Hey, you want to go to this party?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" You know, so I went with him to this party, and it turned out it was this theater party for this theater group that was students at the University of Oregon. And I was also a student at the time at another college in Eugene, Oregon. And I'm at a party, and there wasn't that many people there. I didn't know anybody. And across the room, I see this pretty girl, very beautiful girl. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. And what else do? I just walk up to her and say hi, and I told her my name. We started talking. And it turns out she had turned to Christ a few months earlier. Hmm. So we ended up outside. I had to go outside because my dog, my German Shepherd, who was a fellow disciple of Christ, because we would go out two by two, as it said in the Bible, to go out two by two. So I would go out with him. We went to different towns and passed out tracts and got involved with churches. So I had to go outside to let him out of my truck because I had this enclosed truck, and every couple of hours I have to let him out, you know. So we went outside, and then I wanted Kate to meet my dog because that was my better half at the time. The beautiful, much smarter than me and better looking. You know, so Kate met Fred, our dog, and we were just talking, and we were talking about Christian things. And it turned out that Kate had been saved through a Christian radio show. She was traveling across country with her family and was in a room by herself and was listening to this Christian radio show. And they were talking about Noah's Ark and different evidence of the flood and how God was real. And she has some Christian church background, but she wasn't following Jesus. She was just a college student who was transferring from Indiana University to the University of Oregon at the time, going across country with her family who was moving to Oregon. And she got saved. It's like she started believing in Jesus, and she felt a presence of God in the room with her. And then after that, she started hanging out with Jesus freaks and wanted to was even thinking about joining this Christian group that was like a Christian commune. But she was in school, and her mom talked her out of just quitting school and being a total Jesus freak. So when I met her, we were talking about Christian things, and I was telling her, yeah, I kind of started to believe, and I wasn't a total committed Christian, but we could talk about those things. And then with her, I never knew why a young man named Alan Silberberg, who lived in Massachusetts, knew about this party in Eugene, Oregon, that he invited me to, because soon after we got there, I turned around, and he was gone. I don't know how he ever met this theater group. They were putting on a play. So the story with Kate was that Kate was still going to school at the University of Oregon. And a few months later, I left Oregon. I moved back to Berkeley, California, got involved with a group called Resurrection City. That was a very strong group of young Jesus freaks. Mario Murillo was a leader of that group. We used to go door to door in Berkeley, knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. And Mario Murillo is still going strong as a Christian leader with evangelistic meetings. And one day when I'm in Berkeley, I got a card from Kate, and I thought maybe it was a wedding invitation. And it turned out it was an invitation to her college graduation. I had totally lost touch with her and said, "If you're going to be back in the area, please look me up." Hmm. Well, it just coincidentally, I was planning a trip to go back to the Eugene area, and I was going to leave like in a couple of days. And in those days, if I had missed that card, there's no way I would have looked her up, right? Because we had lost touch with each other. And in those days, like, you didn't call each other on the phone long distance. I didn't even have a phone in Berkeley. So I went up to Oregon. I still had my apartment with these other couple of new converts in downtown Berkeley. And we just started dating each other. Hmm. It was funny because I still had my backpacking equipment. So I just started living in a tent up in Oregon in the backyard of one of my friends while I started going with Kate. And I didn't want to go back to Berkeley because I was afraid if I went back, she'd start going with some other guy or something. Because yeah. We were just starting to date. And then we've been together basically ever since. Mm-hmm. But she had a turning point in her faith, but she would tell the story a million times better, where she was like wondering if she should marry me. And she went to the pastor and was seeking God's guidance on whether she should marry me or not. Because basically, I was kind of like an itinerant preacher. And although I had an apartment in Berkeley, I was living in a tent in Oregon.
And no secure job.
No, nothing of any real security at all. So she went to the pastor, and the pastor said something to her like, some people have faith to marry someone who has a mansion or a house or something like that, and some people have faith to marry someone who lives in a tent.
Yes.
And so somehow she knew, but also there was a time that she got a word. We had this all-night prayer meetings we had in our church at the Lowell, I think it was Lowell Christian Church, whatever. It was in Lowell, little town Lowell, Oregon. And we had all-night prayer meetings, and then we had this great revival breakout. And somehow, during that prayer meeting, she got a word about that she was going to marry me.
Now, you began the program with talking about the three things, the most important things, accepting Jesus, your marital partner, and your career. When did you know that this is the one God was answering your prayer to spend your life with?
When we started going, when Katie and I started going together, we were going to churches together. We were doing, we went to a lot of churches together. We just loved each other so much. Mm. And it was funny because this one man that I was kind of friends with then met Katie and goes, boy, you guys, something like, you pick someone your same size. So we're both tall, thin. She's like 5'10", 5'11", and she was real thin, and I was real thin. And how do you find someone your own size or something like
yeah.
that? And I don't know, we just were like made for each other. I mean, God brought us together. And the coolest thing, too, was that, how like Jewish families will reject you if you become a believer. Some will actually get a coffin and bury you and have really horrible reactions because you're betraying your faith in the eyes of a lot of Jewish people. Well, my parents were not that religious. In fact, somehow I feel even in retrospect it was miraculous. They sent me to Hebrew school, me and my brother, for years, and we got bar mitzvahed. So I went I think it was 7 years to Hebrew school on a regular basis. But they weren't religious themselves. They didn't go to temple themselves. Mm-hmm. They didn't really celebrate anything about Judaism themselves in the house. Someone else had to come in and have the Seder and all this. So they were not happy that I became a Christian. I mean, that was not a good thing. It's not something you could be proud of with your Jewish friends. But when I took Katie, we went on a cross-country trip from Oregon to Chicago to meet my parents. My mom fell in love with Katie and loved her so much. And my dad did too. But I mean, it was like, this is like my daughter now, because they had an engagement party for us with the family, with other cousins and uncle, aunt, whoever was around. So they welcomed her. So I thought, I really felt like God orchestrated this, that my mom is like, on the bad side, he's a mashuganah, that he would become a Christian. But on the good side, we have Kate in the family, who's this wonderful young lady, that she's a Christian. So that was, I felt God orchestrated. And then it seemed like that. And then they, my mom and dad loved our kids and were really good grandparents for the kids.
Well, in case you just tuned in or you missed yesterday's broadcast, Huey Freeman is our board chair with this radio ministry, and God has raised him up for such a time as this. He has a huge, huge heart for the lost, and yet he wants the Christians, those senior saints, to continue to finish well and grow on their faith journey, no matter where you're at on that continuum, far from God or loving God each and every day. Huey has the passion that we all come to know Jesus more each and every day, and we've officially installed him a few months ago as our new board chair, but our first meeting is coming up this next month where we'll be all gathered in person and not the Zoom meetings and votes over the internet and such. But I wanted to share him with you all yesterday and today, and if you missed a portion of either broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But I'm just so excited to have have him lead us forward. We have a board of 10, and I sit on the board also, but Huey was unanimously approved a few months ago through a vote, and we're excited with his gifts and abilities. And I gave a much more formal introduction yesterday. I think the first 6 minutes were me talking about the things I love about Huey, especially his faith journey and his passion for Jesus, and desiring that all of you that tune in and are a part of our radio listening family know Jesus better, or maybe know him for the first time. So Huey, maybe in our closing minute or two, you can close out our time in prayer for those that are finishing well and love the Lord, to those that are maybe entertaining the idea of following Jesus, to those that have been hurt maybe by the church or circumstance that are far from God and don't really see a reason to follow him.
Okay, so one other thing I really wanted to say is that my heart is also for law enforcement, and that's, I've been very fortunate in working. Recently, I'm working with the Oberheim family and honoring Chris Oberheim, who was shot to death, a wonderful officer in Champaign. This is a wonderful Christian family. But in general, I'm just asking for prayer for law enforcement in general, that many great Christian people, and whether Christian or not, just great people. And I say, that's my heart, for that law enforcement people would be protected and honored. And I say, I want to pray, dear God, for the law enforcement people who are serving us, dear God. I want to pray for Mark Burns and Great News Radio Network for serving this community and this state in such a magnificent way. And I thank you, Lord, for choosing me and humbling me by giving me this assignment, dear God. I say, I ask everyone listening, dear God, to pray for a revival, that we would have more and more Christians coming in. I was saved through a revival. Dear God, let people see that they need you, dear God. They need you for eternal life. They need you to help them through this life, dear God. Let them see that your way is the true way, dear God, to have a wonderful life and eternal life with you. So what I really want to say to all of you who are listening who don't know Jesus, God loves you, God cares about you, and dear God, I say, dear God, use these programs, dear God, to bring the lost souls, the souls who don't know you, who don't know anything about you, and those who have wandered away, dear God. Use these programs, dear God, I pray, to bring people in, to bring people into your fold, into your churches, dear God, a close relationship with you as God our Father, dear God. In the name of Jesus, amen.